You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Kitty Frankowitz, and I will soon be joined by my co-host, Skylar Butenshin. It's Monday, June 23rd. An ordinance that would temporarily ban people from parts of Astoria if they committed certain crimes or offenses will be back in front of city leaders at a meeting tonight. Proponents say the intent is to address growing issues with bad behavior in downtown Astoria, not to target specific people. But Astoria's unhoused population has been at the center of the debate for both sides. One group in particular has drawn a lot of attention. Timothy Batchelor says Exchange Street in Astoria is one of the few areas he can camp legally under Astoria's camping ordinance.
But this is like the only one of the only stretches of sidewalk where the sidewalk is actually big enough
right.
to actually comply with the ordinance as far as camping. Because you have to have 6 feet of clearance from the edge of the curb to your camp area. So that's like roughly this line right here.
Batchelor is part of a highly visible group of unhoused people who regularly camp along a two-block area of Exchange Street at 11th Street across from the Astoria Public Library to a former Lutheran church on the corner of 12th Street. In the middle is the Astoria Senior Center and a building that houses law offices. The Exchange Street campers are somewhat unique in Astoria. Many have persisted at the two-block location now for some time, despite receiving frequent citations for violating aspects of the city's camping ordinance. They also interact frequently with police and social service workers. The new ordinance under discussion tonight would create enhanced enforcement zones downtown and in other parts of Astoria. People who violate the ordinance while in these areas could be excluded from them for up to 90 days. They'd still be able to enter the exclusion zones to do things like access social services or go to work. Exclusion orders would need to be approved by an Astoria Municipal Court judge before they could be issued or enforced, and people would be able to appeal the order. But once someone is excluded, if they return to the area and commit additional crimes or offenses, they could face criminal trespassing charges. And with that, appearances at the Clatsop County Circuit Court and the possibility of jail time. Under the proposed ordinance, there are a number of offenses that could get you excluded from an area. These are broken up into three different tiers, from most serious to least serious. While there have been a handful of serious assaults among the campers, Astoria Police Chief Stacy Kelly says most of the offenses they see fall into what would be the lesser Tier 3 category, things like trash or campsites cluttering up the sidewalk. For the most part, Kelly doesn't believe people walking by the campers are in any danger from them. Still,
there are a few people down there dealing with mental health issues that could scare people. You know, I can see why the average citizen is scared. And, you know, when you hear the testimony at council, I 100% understand why they feel the way they do. But then I also understand the perspective from other people who, you know, have worked around the homeless community and are more comfortable with it. And they realize that it's mental health and they kind of, you know, give them their room.
Proponents of the ordinance say it gives police another important tool. Critics, however, worry it could unfairly target homeless people. Kelly has emphasized that the ordinance is intended to address bad behaviors.
To say that it's not going to impact the homeless population isn't accurate, but to say that it's directed just at the homeless isn't accurate either. I mean, anybody that commits these offenses could be excluded.
However,
I think the Exchange group is kind of the lightning rod for everything right now.
Dean Dionier, director of the Astoria Senior Center, says he feels compassion for the campers, but that something needs to be done about those who continually cause problems. Samantha Limlaw is one of the Exchange Street campers. She says she's been homeless for most of her life. She isn't sure what to expect if the Enhanced Enforcement Zones Ordinance passes.
We do comply the most we can, but what they're doing is literally just like, it's like they're limiting every chance we have to try to be comfortable.
Chief Kelly, however, is optimistic that if the ordinance passes, he and his officers will rarely need to use it. He believes the threat of exclusion could be motivation enough.
After a discrimination complaint was received by the Tillamook School District's Board of Directors back in April, the board recently decided to decline to hold a hearing on the complaint. Board Chair Chris Lockenmeyer said that the complaint had been investigated in April by Tillamook Superintendent Matt Ellis, who did not find it substantiated. Ellis's decision was then appealed to the school board by the complainant. At the school board's recent meeting, Lockenmeyer did not share details of the complaint, but she said that it related to somebody on the district's policy committee. Instead of holding a hearing on the complaint, the Tillamook School Board has directed staff to create a new volunteer code of conduct. Lockenmeyer said that the school's policy committee had not fully established guidelines for its activities or members' conduct when it was first created. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald. Read more online at tillamookheadlightherald.com.
A massive transportation funding bill is headed to a vote in the Oregon House this week. But as Dirk Vanderhart reports, its path to passage is unclear.
House Bill 2025 would raise a wide variety of taxes and fees and create some brand new ones. By the time it's fully implemented, the bill would raise nearly $2 billion a year in new money for roads. That price tag has Republicans up in arms, and it's giving Democrats pause. Before the bill got a vote in a legislative committee Friday, Senate President Rob Wagner took the rare step of removing one committee member. That was Democratic Senator Mark Meek, who says the bill is too expensive. The maneuver angered other Democrats. State Representative Anessa Hartman defended Meek in an Instagram post that accused her party of proposing, quote, insane tax increases. The drama could mean trouble lies ahead for HB 2025. If Republicans all oppose the bill, Democrats can't afford to lose a single vote in either chamber. But for now, it lives on. The bill passed out of committee on a party-line vote. I'm Dirk Vanderhart reporting.
A federal judge has ordered the Trump administration to release $60 million in federal funding for environmental justice projects in the Northwest. The Environmental Protection Agency had blocked that funding in February. It would have gone to disadvantaged communities trying to fight pollution in Alaska, Idaho, Oregon, and Washington. Meredith Higashi is with Philanthropy Northwest in Seattle, which hopes to administer the grants.
We are thrilled with the court's decision, and we know that there is a road ahead and are committed to doing our best to secure these funds.
An EPA spokesperson declined an interview request and said the agency is reviewing the decision. More than 700 groups had applied to Philanthropy Northwest for the federal grants before they were frozen. The funding was authorized by Congress during the Biden administration. Harmful algal blooms often shut down ocean fisheries and recreation. They can pose threats to people, marine mammals, and the environment. And they're becoming more frequent. Researchers at the University of Washington have discovered a way to forecast them up to 3 days in advance. KNKX environment reporter Bellamy Palethorpe has the story.
Principal Investigator Brooke Nunn, a professor of genome sciences at the UW, says she had a hunch that the bacteria in the ocean that live adjacent to the harmful algal blooms might provide clues.
They're always there. Can they detect something small that changes in the ocean before the harmful algal bloom starts to multiply and become a problem in the ecosystem?
They set up a lab on Orcas Island in a spot where algal blooms regularly occur and tested the water every 4 hours for 22 days straight. Her hunch was right. Changes in the proteins inside the microbes predicted the blooms. She hopes they can soon develop a rapid test.
You could have a citizen science launch where people are able to test the water.
Even intermittent testing could help predict when a bloom is on the way. The results could be shared with health authorities to inform the public. I'm Bellamy Palethorpe reporting.
For weather today in the Lower Columbia River region, mostly cloudy with highs in the mid-60s. Tonight, mostly cloudy again with lows around 50. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with highs in the mid to low 60s. Tomorrow night, a chance of showers after 11 p.m., otherwise cloudy with lows in the low 50s. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you'll always find today's local and regional news here at kmun.org/news. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at kmun.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.